Lord, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning that you give us, Lord, this beautiful day. And we ask, God, you be with us, Lord, in this part of the service as well, God. And anoint me, Lord, to be able to preach the word which you've laid on our hearts, dear God, to be a help and uplifting encouragement to the people, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, into the book of 1 John chapter 3. I want to continue to preach on the election of God. First John chapter 3, I want to begin reading at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. You may be seated. We're now the sons of God. We were always sons and daughters of God. But this outward man didn't always reflect that that's what we were. The outward man reflected that we were the sons and daughters of our earthly fathers and mothers. And we maybe resemble them in features and looks and built and so on, and in our makeup and our personalities, the way we are. I mean, there's many things that are learned traits, but there's some that are that come that maybe, you know, my great-grandfather used to say about my grandfather when he was a young man, said, he's nothing like me. Said he takes after an uncle on his mother's side. And if you ever knew the two men, I knew them both. They were as different as night and day. One was more calm, easygoing, settled. That was my great-grandfather. And my grandfather, Browning, why, he was just the opposite of that. He was loud and boisterous and a very confrontational type of individual. So they were very different. And they lived their lives a lot different. And so sometimes it's not your father and mother, but it's somewhere from your family tree that you will take a makeup from. So in other words, what I'm saying is it's not all learned. There are some things that, well, my family always did it this way, so that's the way I do it. Those are learned things. But there's things that you take after, I didn't know my grandfather. I knew him when he was a sinner. But a lot of the stories that I hear about him when he was young and things he did and all that, I wasn't around to see all that. I didn't hear about that stuff till a lot later. And my grandfather Brown, on my mom's side, there was a lot of things I didn't hear about him or know about him until after he was gone. And I was told later by my aunt that I went and visited in West Virginia all the time. And, you know, a lot of things you hear, and you're like, you know, I could have went my whole life without never knowing that. And, you know, but I guess as folks get older, they have a tendency to want to tell their stories and tell the stories of their ancestors and tell a lot of things, you know. And you say, you know, I could have went without knowing that. And I've lived my life fine up to this point. But there's a lot of things you take after your parents. You take after your, not just your dad, but your mother. And I know, I look at myself, I was thinking this morning while I was walking, I look at myself and I think of even my makeup, the way I am, it's a real mixture. I like to cut up and clown around and laugh and cut up and have a big time. I take that after my mom's family. And I can be real dead serious and give real serious looks and things like that. I take that after my dad. And there's a lot of things that when I was young, there was a lot of things to where I did which didn't seem to be nothing like my dad. And, you know, and maybe you were that way, you know, about your parents when you were young and first growing up, maybe as kids and then teenagers, there were certain traits and different things that people would see and say, oh, that's like his dad, that's like her mom or whatever. But there was a lot of things you did and how you were that didn't seem to be so much like them. You know, especially if you grew up and your parents were Christians, born again, and here you were growing up and you hadn't been born again yet, and here they were living born again lives, maybe, and you were living like a devil, but that had nothing to do with their new birth. See, that had to do with the first birth. In the first birth, you maybe received a lot of traits and things, and they're strange in families. And Brother Branham talks about this. He talks about one man, one young man that was about 17, 18 years old, and he was talking to his father about him, and the young man had come, and he had given his life to Christ, but he had never been born again yet. And his mother was, her background, she was German. And Brother Branham knew both the families of the mother and father. He knew their families and things, and he said, you know, nothing against the German people, but her people were a very staunch and unforgiving people. They held grudges and didn't forgive very easy. They wouldn't let things go. You ever know anybody like that? Just wouldn't let it go. And then his father was an Irishman. And they were drunkards and fighters and moody and all that, you know. And so here he had these strains from both sides of the family. And here the mother and father come together. Here they had this son. And he drew strains from both sides of the family. And he was moody and he was a fighter. And he was, lived a life like that, and he was unforgiving and held grudges and all that he got from his mother's family. And Brother Branham said, until he gets born again, he should never get married because he'll make any woman's life hell on earth. And he said, and he was talking to the father. He says, now, you and your wife, you're not like that. You're not like your families because you've been born again. And so he said, you're living different. He says, you don't drink you're not a fighter and all these things, and you're very forgiving people. And that, and he says, that's not from your family tree, your earthly strain. He said, that's from your heavenly strain. That's from your heavenly father. That's from your heavenly parents. And he said, it's because you have the Holy Ghost. That's why you're like that. He said, but your son doesn't have the Holy Ghost, and that's why he's like he is, and why these earthly strains are being lived out through him. And, you know, I think about when I was growing up, there was many things that I did that didn't seem to be like my earthly parents because they were both born again and I wasn't. And so I lived, and the strains from the family seemed to come out through me. Now, that's not like psychologists today who take and blame everything that you do on your ancestors. No, that's not what I'm saying. You got to take responsibility for your own actions because everybody has choices to make. And everybody should be responsible for their own actions. And you are. But there are things, strains that come through families. And those things, before you're born again, they live out through you. And even after you're born again, because you're still in this flesh and you still have this human spirit, those tendencies kind of want to stick their ugly heads up from time to time. But when you're born again, see, Brother Branham said, that boy will try with all his intellects to overcome that, but he'll never be able to overcome it until he gets born again, he said, because it'll take God to overcome those things in his life. And that's what overcomes those things in your life, is God in your life. And these ugly things from your flesh, they want to stick their heads up from time to time. But that's when you need to realize that and say, okay, that's my earthly strength, but I've been born again. I got a heavenly strength. Instead of taking the thought of, well, this is the way my family's always done it. Well, they've always been wrong then. If they ain't done it according to the word of God, and they haven't done it according to the nature of God, then they were always wrong. I don't care who they were. I don't care who you are. Friends, I preach to myself as much as I do you. So if I can talk to myself that way, what makes you think I can't talk to you that way? My dad always said, he said he couldn't just social drink, said he had to drink like a fish. And when I wasn't born again, that's the way I was. And it wasn't that I was around my granddad, you know, when he was out having a big time and hooping it up like that and carrying on and spending his paycheck and all that. It wasn't that I was around him to learn that stuff. It was just strange to come through the family. And a lot of times we pet that stuff. Well, this is the way I've always been. Well, you've always been wrong then. It's about time you let your born again self take control and say, I'm not going to be that way. Brother Branham said in one place, he says, I sure hope that I don't ever become a grumpy old man. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to become a grumpy, rude individual. And I don't believe none of you all do either. And if you let the nature of Christ live itself out through you, you won't be. But if you pet them old strains from your family, then that's how you're going to be. You say, well, you're saying if I'm born again, I won't be that way. You're still in this flesh. And when you got born again, it was your soul that got born again, not your flesh. Do you realize, Brother Branham says this in the message, he says, anything that you take and you put it before God, it becomes a God in your life. And if you take things like that, this is from your family strain, different things like that, and you take the attitude, well, this is just the way we are, you've made that a God. And you're guilty of idolatry. We preached last Sunday and said, God wants to be first in your life. Not your family. Not your family strains. Not this is the way my family done it. Friends, look, I'm not the Browning family. You're not the Bontrager family or the Horner family or the Mass family or the Roberts family or whoever. You know what? You're the family of God. Now, when I was a young boy, I didn't act so much like my daddy. But the older I got, the more I began to act like him. To one of those days, you know, as you get older, all of a sudden you're standing around and you say, dear Lord, I have become my dad or my mom. Remember, I never forget the time me and Mina, you know, as we got older, we sit around, we all of a sudden realized, man, now we're the age our parents were when we got married. That's been a long time ago yet. I was thinking just the other day, I was thinking about my age and how old I am, you know, and I remembered being at Brother Horner's retirement party when he turned 62. And here I am 60. I remember when I first come down here, what was you in your 50s, Brother Jim, when I first come down here? Yeah. Now what are you, 81 or?
81.
Older than dirt. You said that when you were 50. I bought him a card one time. He was always talking about how old he was, so I bought him a birthday card one time that said, when you was a kid, you played hideth and go seeketh and ring around the stagecoach. Just joking with him, you know. But we, you know, and the older I got, the more I began to see things and act like my dad. And the reason I began to act more like what I thought he was because something happened in me. And you know, when I first come to Jesus Christ, you know, there was a lot of things still hanging on me. And there was a lot of ways that I wasn't so much like Jesus when I first come to Jesus. But, and even when I first got born again, I was cleaned up. But there was a lot of things I didn't know and didn't understand. And so I wasn't acting as much like Jesus Christ then as I do now. Why? I got older in the Lord. I've matured in the Lord. And as you get older in the Lord and mature in the Lord and go along your walk with the Lord, friends, look, don't think you're going to be Jesus Christ starting out walking. You'll get more like Jesus the more you walk with him. He's not finished with me yet. I've been serving God for many years. But he's still not finished with me. He's still working on me, as the song says. There's still a lot of rough edges he's got to sand off. There's still a lot of things he's got to knock off of me. You know, somebody first maybe says something to you, does something to you, maybe in your family stranger was to get even. That still wants to stick up its ugly head from time to time. I'll show them. They've tangled with the wrong person this time. But that's not like Jesus. When they said things to Jesus, when they accused him, when he stood in Pilate's hall and they whipped him, and they said, they had him blindfolded and they'd hit him and say, prophesy and tell us who hit you. The Bible says he said not a word. Oh my, how much are we like Jesus? When people say things about us and say things against us right to our face, can we just not utter a word? Just let it go on by? Or do we take offense? We need to be a lot more like Jesus, don't we? Many times people carry their feelings, as we always say, on their sleeve. In other words, their feelings are just right out there, and they get their feelings hurt, and boy, you know it. Right then and there, their feelings got hurt. Or can we be like Jesus and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's our heavenly family tree. That's where our heavenly traits come from. But friends, we're going to battle this stuff as long as we're in this flesh. That's why Paul said we must die daily to the flesh. Paul said we've got to crucify this flesh. Because this flesh wants to raise up. This flesh gets its feelings hurt. My, my. But we can't, you know, Brother Branham said, I can't deny being the son of Charles Branham. He said, he was a small man, said, I'm a small stature of a man. And he said, my hair was like him. And he said, and my nature was like him. And he said, you know, I can't deny being, he said, how can I deny the mother who gave me birth? So there's a lot of things that because we're their sons and their daughters, there's a lot of things that come through there. But then being a son and daughter of God, how can we deny our Heavenly Father? Brother Branham said, and if we become in the spirit sons of God, then deity dwells in man. God said nothing is impossible for you if you believe. Not that it's not impossible with God, but it's not impossible for you because deity lives in you. The very God that stood back there on the mythical platform of eternities and rolled worlds off his hands and created these things, he give you the privilege to be his son, and you're a part of him, and God dwells in mankind, and man himself is deity. Why? Not that you, your flesh is, but the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. God dwells in man, and man becomes the son of God, not in himself, but the Holy Spirit in him. The Creator lives in the creation. Then think of that. Then you can stand there with an unwavering faith and ask what you will and it'll be done for you. You got things maybe in your life you've got to overcome from day to day. You can and will overcome those things. Why? Because you're a son of God and he already overcame. He overcame it for you. All you've got to do is just lay claim to that. Amen. God's in his people today. You know, how do we know that Jesus Christ has resurrected? Well, you say, well, there's an empty tomb over there in Israel. But how do we know he's alive today? Not how do we know he resurrected 2,000 years ago, but how we know he's still resurrected today? Because he lives in you. Amen. Amen. The Bible said you were God's because you're part of God. Just like, you know, in the natural, I can say, you know, I say, I'm a Brownie because... And I have a lot of things that, you know, people get this whole thing about, they say, well, you think your family's better than ours? No, but I think God's is. I think God's family's better than any of the Browning family. It ain't about the Browning family versus your family. It's about God's family. And if you're a part of God's family, then friends, you come from good folks. Amen. You know, Brother Branham said, he said, I haven't got nothing to brag about in my first birth. He said, I come from a family of drunkards and cutthroats and murderers and all this. He said, I got nothing to brag about from my first birth. But my second birth, I've got something to brag about. And I want to brag about the God that I was born again and the change that has happened in my life. and I can say this is where he brought me from. Yeah, I used to be that, but I'm not that anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is the propitiation for me. I have received the ministry of reconciliation. I've been reconciled to God. You know what that means? It means an atonement was made. Something to appease God for sin. A covering, an atonement. And the Bible tells me that he is my propitiation. He reconciled me to himself. Let's just read that. This 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world. And God is in you. That's how he gives you the ministry of reconciliation, because it's God in you. First John, it says, we have an advocate with the Father if any man sin. And said, he is the propitiation for our sins. He said, John said, that my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We will have somebody there that's standing in our stead. That's what that means. He's representing us. And he made the atonement for our sins, because he who knew no sin was made sin for us. That's what we just read. That we might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham said, I'm a part of Charles Branham because I'm his son. He said, but I'm a part of God because I'm his son. Now, you were always sons and daughters of God. But you were born in this flesh, which was a son or daughter of your earthly parents. But that had nothing to do with your soul. You see, you didn't come by the will of your parents. You came into this life by the will of God. God had this woman with this man so that you would be born a certain way in this world. So that you would be a certain way. You would have certain characteristics. You would have certain things about your makeup. Because we're not all the same. And friends, look, God didn't send me here to stamp out Jerry Brownings. He don't want everybody like me. That's why he made you like you are. And God didn't want me to be like you. He wanted me to be like I am. That's why he brought Patricia Brown and James Browning together. And that brought me into this earthly world. That gave me this earthly flesh. And you know, in this earthly flesh, there are certain things I inherited that I didn't want to inherit. I didn't want to be a diabetic, but it ran in my family. I didn't want to have high blood pressure, but I got it from the genes of this earthly family. But there was something, a part of me that was like another Jerry Browning. And that was that part that came from eternity, that was down on the inside of me. And one day, the Word of God brewed over me. And as it brewed over me, there was something came alive in me. You know, I was a rascal. There was one time some deacons and brothers of the church came to my dad and told him he ought to kick me out. Kick me out of the house. My dad said, I won't do it. They said, well, look at the things he's doing and the way he's living. He said, yeah, but if I kick him out, then he won't be in church. And he said, if as long as he's in church and under the word, then there's something can reach him. Oh, my. I was underage anyhow. I was 17. Friends, there's something as the Word of God brewed over me, as the Word of God brewed over you, something became alive. Maybe, you know, maybe it happened somewhere else, or maybe it happened right here in this church, that you came for your first time and something kept drawing you back. And as the Word of God kept brewing over you, things in your life begin to change. Desires begin to change. Why? There was another you down on the inside. And that other you was coming to life. And the more you feed it, the more it's going to grow. The more it's going to mature. And the more you're going to be able to act like your Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says this. He said, I know I got a God and I got a Savior because I feel Him in my soul. I'm part of Him. And if I deny one part of this, that would be like denying I got a hand or an ear or an eye. I couldn't do it and remain a human being. Neither can I deny any of God's word and remain in my right spirit of mind. Now, he said, I can't brag on my earthly family tree, but one thing I can brag on the parents that I have spiritually, for He is my Father, He is my Savior, He is my Redeemer. I can brag on everything He's done for me because now I am His son. I am no more the son of Charles Branham, I'm a son of Jesus Christ.
I can brag on my birth now. He goes on in another message here, in the message of communion. He said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There was something calling, like my little eagle story. I'm not a chicken. There was something up yonder somewhere. Oh, great Jehovah, whoever you are, open up. I'm coming home. There's something in me calling me. Friends, if what was calling you, it wasn't something from out here. There was something down in here that started calling. Why? Because you are a part of God. You were born with part of God in you. You just lived the life that you lived and done the things you did because you came into this earthly life. As the Bible said, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity and came into this life speaking lies. You ever notice how you don't have to teach a child how to lie? You say, did you do this? Not me. That's just showing you the Bible is true. As I said, we come into this world speaking lies. Hallelujah. Now, we read in the scripture where it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not that we're going to be in the millennium. Not that we're going to be after the rapture. We are now the sons and daughters of God. This is not a future thing. Friends, you were always, look, let me show you something in the natural. In the natural, I was always a son of James and Patricia Browning. But James Browning gave his life to God at a young age and started preaching when he was 17 years old. Buddy, I wasn't doing nothing like that when I was 17. No. I was out running around. I was out seeing what I could get into. So I didn't reflect James Browning. I remember growing up, you know, my dad being a pastor, my mom used to always get on to me about things I was doing and how I acted and everything, you know, and she'd say, you are a reflection on your dad. Now, in a teenager's mind, I tried to, you know, understand what in the world she meant. I was a reflection. You know, and I had a complex. Everywhere I went, they'd say, oh, you're James Browning's son. And I'd say, I got a name. You know, you could call me Jerry. You don't have to call me James Browning's son. I'm somebody myself. I kind of had a complex. And mom would always say, you're a reflection on your dad. And I didn't know, even as a teenager, I had no idea what that meant. I'd always tell her, I'm tired of being his taillights. I didn't know what in the world she was talking about. I'm a reflection on my dad. When I became a pastor, I realized what in the world she was talking about. Because whatever my kids done, people from the church will say, well, that's your kid. Yeah, but they got to be born again just like I had to be born again. Can you have grace for them? That's what I used to think. Can you have some grace for my kids? You know why? Because everybody wants me to have grace for theirs. Can I hear an amen? People come to me and say, my son is doing this and this. Can you pray the Lord will stop him? I said, yeah, I'll pray. Are you sure you want me to pray that?
Yeah, I want you to pray that. So I pray that next thing you know, they're in jail. God stopped them. Then they come to me and say, my son's in jail. You asked me to pray to God to stop him. Well, friend, God uses things of this earth to do a lot of things. Don't you believe that? You got in your mind you're going to go a certain place, and it seems like every obstacle in the world gets in your way. And you try to bull your way through it anyhow. When, friends, you realize, hold on now. My car didn't start. And it started yesterday. And this didn't. You know, maybe God's trying to tell me something. You know, I'll tell you one thing that I know God's always trying to tell us, and that's lean on him. We're always trying to lean on ourselves. We sing that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. It ain't your arm. It's his arm. Where does your money come from? It don't come from you. It comes from God. You say, well, I work hard. Who gave you the strength to do that? Many people think they go out and got the job themselves. God opens the door. Hallelujah. God provides for you. You say, well, I provide for my family. Baloney. God does. Who provided for them when you got laid off? Who provided for them when you got fired? Who provided for them when what you was getting paid wasn't enough to make the ends meet? Some people say, well, I had to work two and three jobs. Well, praise God, he gave you the strength to do it. You know why you had to work two and three jobs? Because they wasn't paying you enough. You had to work that much just to get enough money to make ends meet. Think about what they pay people, you know, down there, what do they pay the cashiers at Kroger's today? A lot more than what they used to pay them. But things have went up too. Eggs. I don't know what the deal is with eggs and chickens. I don't know if the chickens is going on strike or what's happening. But the price of chicken's going up and the price of eggs is going up. Now, I don't know whose fault it is, but it happened over the last couple of years, you know, when all this stuff, different things started happening, you know, and gas going up. My. But you know what? You have become a new creature, is what we read. You and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. But you're still living in this flesh. And you still got to contend with it. When that old flesh wants to rise up, friends, it ain't up to me to put your flesh down. It's not me that should bring your flesh in check. It's you. You're responsible for it. Everybody's responsible for their own flesh. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This flesh was born to these earthly parents, and this flesh has certain tendencies because of certain things that were passed on down. But friends, you've been born again. Something's changed inside you. And you got to bring this old earthly thing that you're still living in into subjection. Hallelujah. Now, Christ has already been judged for our sins. So God can't bring us back up before him and judge us again. He wouldn't be right to do it. Because why? We have been born again, accepted in Jesus Christ. And he was judged for our sins. And we're changed because of Jesus Christ being in our life.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've quoted this scripture so much that I thought I'd just read it today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. So y'all would know where it's at. First Corinthians chapter 6, and we want to begin reading at verse 9. Amen. Raise your hands when you got it. I want everybody to be together. Amen. All right. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So all these things is named off here. Some of y'all were guilty of it. You may not be guilty of all of it, but you're guilty of something. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So Jesus Christ paid the price that these things are how you were when you were born this life and how you lived. You don't got to give account for that anymore because he gave account for it. And shed his blood was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me read you this from the Church Age book. This is an Ephesian Church Age and Church Age book. And now to these sons of God who by him overcome, are given the privilege of the paradise of God and the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ. There will never more be any separation from him. Whether he goes, his bride will go. What is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. The secret things will be revealed. The dark things will be made plain. We shall know as we are known. And we shall be like him. Isn't that what we read in the text when we started out? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, even as he is. Amen. We shall be like him. This is the heritage of the overcomer who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony to Jesus Christ. Now, how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Now, Brother Bram says this in The Marriage of the Lamb. He said, if the Lord would take, you say, if the Lord would take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or from lying or stealing, I'll serve him. No, you got to make up your mind to serve him first. And then God will set you free. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe and pull us out on the other end and then say, blessed is he that overcometh. You had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. But you've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respects to God. So you've got things you have to overcome.
because you live in this flesh that was born into this world. But friends, listen, you are the elect of God. You are always a part of God. That part of God just came alive in you. Now what you've got to do is exercise that. When this flesh begins to act up, just exercise it by the word of God. Like Brother Branham said about that young man. Said his daddy was an Irishman, said they were drunkards, and said they were moody people. Sometimes we get things like that from our families. Like he said, just being moody. Who wants to be around a moody person? Friends, that's something I've got to overcome myself in my own flesh. Things ain't going, you know, your way, then all of a sudden you just feel so down. If it ain't going the way you think it ought to be going, you get so down and you try to drag everybody else around you down. That's not God. That's your flesh. You need to bring that flesh into subjection. You say, how do I do that? By knowing this. Jesus Christ is the one who takes care of you. Be happy in the Lord. When you're feeling down and sad, think about what the Lord's done for you. How he's changed you. That ought to make you happy. Think about how you could have been the one that was sent to hell. But instead, Jesus Christ was sent to hell for you. And he overcame hell. And friends, you are overcomers. Look, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're born again, you've already overcome death. What else could there be? Because the Bible said you've passed from death unto life, never to come into the condemnation. Hallelujah. Pass from death unto life. You've already overcome death. What could there possibly be in your way you couldn't overcome? You will overcome. You know, people say, Lord, remove temptation from me. Temptation wasn't removed from Jesus Christ, my friend. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, such as known to man. A lot of people think, well, Jesus Christ couldn't have been tempted by this or that or the other, you know, because he was tempted in every way, such as known to man. Well, Jesus couldn't have been tempted by women. Why? Isn't that something that's known to man? There's nothing, no temptation, known to man that Jesus hadn't already overcome. That's the Bible. All you've got to do to overcome is just rely on the word of God. That's what Jesus did. Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. You're hungry. Jesus was hungry. And he was tempted because he was hungry and didn't have anything to eat. It's in your Bible. These temptations were real. It said the devil came to him after he had fasted 40 days out in the desert, and the devil came to him to tempt him. Now, if he wasn't tempted by it, then it would not have been real temptation, now would it have? But instead he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
has not said that he's given his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Cast yourself down off of this pinnacle. He said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus takes care of me. Don't tempt him. He's giving you good sense too. Well, I don't have to watch what I eat. Well, if you got diabetes, you better. Well, praise God, I pray over my food. So do I. But God's given me some sense. Say, do you ever eat anything that's not good for you? Yeah, we all do. But have you ever heard of moderation? Friends, I'm a diabetic, but every once in a while somebody in my family has a birthday and I want a piece of birthday cake now. And the dietitian and stuff I see, they tell me, said, now don't deprive yourself. Celebrate every once in a while your accomplishments. So when there's a birthday, now I don't eat the whole cake. I don't even eat half the cake or a quarter of the cake. I just eat a piece. Say, well, I don't care for cake. I like pie. Well, then that's your weakness. I like cobbler. Well, that's because you're Southern. I ain't got nothing against it. I just have things that are my weakness and things I prefer. But God's given me the good sense. And God's give you good sense. And there's things you got to overcome. There's temptations that come your way. And you got to overcome them temptations. And they ain't all food. You hear me talk about food because that's a lot of where my temptations are. I ain't shy about it. I like to eat. I like good food. But I have to tell myself, now, Jerry, you don't need two and three helpings of this. One helping should be enough. But I really like the way it tastes. Yeah, but don't be tempted. You'll regret it. You got things to overcome. I've got things to overcome. Friends, there's things we're going to face tomorrow. And we've got to overcome. There's things from, and I don't mean to keep reiterating this, but I want you to get this point. There's things you each have to overcome because of this flesh you're born into. Things about your personality, things about your makeup. But if you've been born again, you can overcome those things. Amen? Let's start living like we come from a heavenly family. Let's start living like we've been born again. I'm not talking about, look, friends, many of y'all, you know, you say, well, I've already, you know, maybe I already overcame, you know, drinking, or I already overcome drugs, or I already overcome these other things in my life and all that. But look at all the other things that I've talked about. Being moody, holding grudges, tempers, all this stuff comes from your earthly heritage. You overcome those things too because you've been born again. You need to let your born again self be more out there and this flesh take a back seat. Too long we've let the flesh sit in the front seat, ride shotgun. we need to put that old flesh in the back. We can't get rid of it. We can't kick it out. We're stuck with it. But we can at least put it in the back seat. Put it in the third row seating. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for the message you give us, Lord. And Lord, that we have been called. Lord, and we've been justified, and we've been sanctified. And Lord, we've been glorified. And Lord, we're looking to a time, Lord, where this outside man will look a lot more like the inside man. Lord, when we've been given a promise, an heritage, because of being sons and daughters of God. We've been given a heritage that no matter where we are, if we leave this world, no matter what's done to this body, Lord, your prophet said it didn't matter if this body was buried in the ground, buried at sea, burnt in a furnace. It don't matter what happened to it. We've been given a promise, an heritage that you said you'd raise it up at the last day. Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, I pray you'll go with your people today. Lord, go with them this week. You know the things that they've got to face. Lord, there's things that maybe we got to face this week that we got no idea that we're going to end up facing. But you know. And Lord, you, Father, knowing you always prepare your people. Lord, you prepared your people before they came out of Egypt. You prepared them for the coming out of Egypt. Lord, you prepared your people today, Lord, for things they've got to face this coming week. Lord, I pray, God, let us take this word. And Lord, let us hold it dear into our heart because it is the word of God. It is the truth. Lord, no wonder it said, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. The Son is truth. Truth. The truth has set you free. Hallelujah. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.